Welcome to the American Ag Network Week in Review for the week ending April 21st. I'm Sabrina Hill. Before we get into this week, I want to give you a heads up about next week. Rusty Halverson and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the next few days to meet with lawmakers and the nation's newsmakers. You can hear our reports on air each day, and we'll have the top stories in next week's podcast. For this week, Rusty joins us in a few moments with an interview with North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp discussing RFS, EPA waivers, and trade. But first, I have the top news of the week. The 2018 Farm Bill has advanced out of the Ag Committee, but not without some controversy. House Ag leaders expressed disappointment with the partisan Farm Bill markup. House Ag Committee Chairman Michael Conway of Texas and Vice Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson hosted a telephone news conference on Thursday to talk about the committee's markup of the 2018 Farm Bill. Chairman Conway.
G.T. and I have got a little bit of work to do with respect to finding 190 more votes. We had 26 yesterday. We need 190 total to get to 216, assuming we get this done before these open seats start getting filled. But I'm excited about the process. I've got a great partner with G.T. As you've heard, he is very articulate on the nutrition title and other parts of the Farm Bill. But both of us are very proud of the work product we kicked out yesterday. I think the American people will be better understanding of it. The longer it goes on, the more opportunity we have to talk to them about what it really does, as opposed to much of the misinformation that was provided yesterday during testimony from the Democrats. And I think they will come to understand that they didn't have it quite right either. And when that happens, maybe we can come together and get 435 votes on the Farm Bill. But
Vice Chairman Thompson.
You know, the unfortunate part yesterday were the politics, some of the first politics I've seen from some of my colleagues. I've worked very closely on this nutrition title one, and it seemed like they were focused on nutrition title when we've done over 21 hearings, over 80 witnesses over the course of now the fourth year, actually, of doing that. And that part was not so positive for me. That was very disappointing.
Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall was a guest on Adams on Agriculture, which is presented by the American Ag Network. Here are his comments.
It's just disappointing that they just walked away from the table about a month ago and quit negotiating. I'm just so appalled. I don't understand why they would walk away from the table. But it looks like we're starting to negotiate again. At least yesterday, they were appearing to negotiate. So I think there's ways to improve the bill. I just don't know how any congressman could go back home and say they're going to take away 5 years of certainty for farmers because the Republicans are asking the people either to train to work or to work for 20 hours a week. I mean, most of us work 20 hours on Saturday.
Chairman Conway is hopeful the bill can get a full House vote during the first week of May. The current Farm Bill expires September 30th, the end of this federal fiscal year. During the House Ag Committee hearing on Wednesday, Ranking Member Colin Peterson of Minnesota expressed worry about trade issues and stressed the importance of crop insurance. He gave an example of some farmers surviving the last 3 years of lower prices only because of higher yields.
That's saved us. And I've been concerned about what's going to happen going down the road because crop insurance follows the prices. And so any of you that know how crop insurance works or have had to buy it, you know, what you're doing is you're buying coverage to guarantee a loss. You know, so it's very important, but it's, you know, it is, I'm concerned about this. So I kind of went along because the chairman told me they didn't have any money. I get that, and, you know, we're doing the best we can. But since the administration has started this trade stuff, I have become very concerned about where we're heading potentially in the future. And yesterday, even on sorghum, now we have 176% tariff, or whatever they're calling it, on sorghum, which is 70% in China, is 70% of their crop. You know, so we have sent a letter, and I'm just advising you, to the White House, signed by all the members on this side of the aisle, asking them that if they're going to have additional money that they're going to try to make available to farmers because of the damage that potentially could be done by the trade deals.
Peterson said he recommend they not do that on an ad hoc basis.
I don't think that would be a good idea. Senator Roberts in the Senate has said the same thing. But if there is extra money, what I would like to suggest and what we have in this letter is that the money be put into the Farm Bill on a permanent basis, into this Title I of the farm bill so we can improve the safety net in case we get into a continuing low price situation. And so I just want you to be aware of it. I'm not going to put you on the spot in terms of what you think about it, but I really am concerned. Well, this is not a partisan deal. There's not anything that I'm trying to cause any trouble than I already have. But, I really am worried about this. And this is a self-inflicted wound that we don't, frankly, don't need. And if we get into this situation, we don't need a one-time bailout.
Representative Colin Peterson of Minnesota. Farm News Director Rusty Halverson talked with North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp this week on a number of important topics for agriculture. Here's his interview.
Just a couple of different things I'd like to talk to you about today, and I'd like to start off first a little bit about the EPA. Now, yesterday, you joined Senators Grassley and Klobuchar, along with several others, sending a letter to Administrator Pruitt to stop issuing those waivers related to the RFS, and we also just recently confirmed Andrew Wheeler to be the number two man at the EPA. He'd take over if something would happen with Mr. Pruitt. First, tell me a little bit about that letter, and then if you could give me a sense of what you picked up from Andrew Wheeler when it comes to his stance on the renewable fuel standard.
Well, we're very concerned. I think there's mixed messages going on. The administration, I think, is having a hard time balancing their interest in the oil and gas industry and the ethanol industry. I don't really care because that's not a choice. The choice is to follow the law. And the law basically sets out limits and that these waivers should not be given in any way, shape, or form. And that's the purpose of sending the letter. Look, you did these waivers. We think that they probably are not consistent with the law. But beyond that, understand we're watching very closely. And so a lot of concern about whether instead of just the administration started their negotiations on changes to the RFS. We did not support even opening up that dialogue, but obviously they did. Those negotiations did not yield a result. What we don't want to have happen is we don't want to have the RFS undermined on a one-by-one basis, which is what these waivers are. So that's why it's so important for those of us who care about the RFS, who care about biodiesel, care about our farm-to-fuels industry, that we are pushing back on what seems to be a policy implemented by waiver as opposed to broad policy discussion.
Yeah, the president had mentioned that he was in favor of the idea of E15 sales year-round, biofuels supporters encouraged by the quotes from the president, but also concerned if there could be some kind of a take from the ethanol industry in exchange. And as you mentioned, some of those White House meetings, the entire process could end up in court anyway. They'd have to do a comment period and proposal on it. What's your take on the president's comments on that topic last week?
Well, I think one of the concerns that we have is, we hear this, but then maybe the next day something else happens that doesn't fulfill the commitment. We think that we need the E15, regardless of what happens with the RINs and with any kind of RIN reform. And so that they should not be equated. That's my problem, is that E15 has merit and value on its own. We've been trying to get this thing done for, really 3-4 years. I think that we always are said, it's always used as a bargaining chip to basically undermine the RFS, and we're just not going to go there. We're going to keep pushing for what we think is an appropriate public policy on E15 without giving up any kind of, or doing any kind of RIN reform.
Sure. Let's move quickly to the farm bill. House Ag Committee Chair Conaway getting the ball rolling on his farm bill markup this week. Plenty of talk in the press about Democrats walking away from the process in that committee because of what the draft bill does to SNAP. How are the discussions going on the Senate side between Debbie Stabenow and Pat Roberts? Will we see similar divisions in the Senate Ag Committee or on the full Senate floor?
At this point, we don't anticipate that. I think that we've been through this before. It means that Debbie and Pat know what those pitfalls are. they are very aggressively pursuing an agenda right now of getting markup on a farm bill in the Senate Ag Committee, either at the end of this work period or the beginning of next work period in May. And I'm hopeful that we can get that markup done and that we can show have a great show of strength coming out of the Ag Committee, which would then be enormously useful. I mean, if we can get big bipartisan support out of the Ag Committee, that makes getting this across the finish line in the Senate much easier.
Okay. And finally, just on trade, China announcing Tuesday that importers of U.S. sorghum will have to post bonds on the value of their goods to cover possible anti-dumping duties, just the latest in the back and forth between Washington and Beijing. Farmers in the state, Senator, certainly don't like the uncertainty. Neither do their bankers as we try to get into the fields for this year's crop. What discussions are you having with the White House when it comes to trade?
Well, I just visited this morning with Trade Ambassador Lighthizer, and you know, it's no mystery to him that there is a tremendous amount of concern. They have their trade policy agenda, but it is critically important that ag groups stay very engaged. And one thing that concerns me is when I hear things like, well, just trust the administration to do this. I mean, if you fade into the background and you're not as aggressive and as direct as you need to be raising the concerns for agriculture, then you're going to get left behind. You know, we didn't hear from you. We didn't think it was a problem. Or, you know, we told you, trust us. I mean, I think that it's like anything else. We have to be strong advocates for American agriculture. But the Chinese aren't stupid. They know that that where they can really affect an industry and affect a slice of the American economy is in agriculture. And they've selected agriculture because politically it's difficult for the president given the support that he got in rural America. But the bottom line is we're playing with people's livelihoods here. We are not, this isn't some game people are playing. This is, you know, whether you're going to be able to make a profit this year and next year. And oh, by the way, Have you now lost your markets, permanently, or at least, over a period of time, markets that we worked very, very hard to develop? And so what we've got to do is continue to be strong advocates, as I was this morning with Ambassador Lighthizer. We have got to continue to provide data about the impacts. And I'm trying to prevent any of this from happening, and it's repair is a lot harder than prevention.
Yeah.
And so the real plan here is whether we will actually get the kind of reaction from China that would prevent this. And, you know, obviously China today sent a pretty aggressive message, so at this point I don't know if that's them being negotiating in from a position of toughness, or if this is going to lead to what we all are very concerned about, which is a trade war.
Sure, sure. Okay, Senator, that's all I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think if people keep saying, well, it didn't, you know, look at the action, look what actually is happening. I will tell you, language matters. And the debate we're having right now matters because it is market disruptive and at a time when American agriculture cannot afford that disruption.
Okay, very well said. Well, I thank you for your time today, Senator. That's all I have for you.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Rusty Halverson talking with Senator Heidi Heitkamp. And again, Rusty and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the next few days to meet with lawmakers and newsmakers. We'll be reporting from there every day in our radio reports and next week's podcasts. We'll have our top news highlights. Listen on the air during the week, and you can also follow our social media channels. We'll be posting there each day as well. That's coming up Monday through Thursday with highlights next Saturday in our weekly podcast. That's it for this week. For Rusty Halverson and myself, thanks for listening, and join us again next week.